Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Columbus, the Fan. Welcome to the Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank. First Merchants Bank, helping you prosper.
Put it in the upper right-hand corner, just like a postage stamp. That's a good bingo!
Get ready to learn more about the Columbus Blue Jackets players and coaches, as well as find out what's going on this week in the NHL. Now let's join Bob McGilligan and Jody Shelley for the Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank.
Well, you know, in The Wizard of Oz, Dorothy said it, and I agree with her. There's no place like home. And that's where the Blue Jackets finally are after a nine-day trip, 5 games. You count the one with the New York Islanders to start it, and then out to Western Canada, Calgary, Vancouver, Edmonton, Seattle. If you know anything about geography, you know how silly that trip was anyway. But anyhow, Blue Jackets are now back at home. And, Jody, they picked up points in each of the last two games. Now, the one in Edmonton was disappointing because they had a 2-goal lead in the third period, let it get away, lost it in overtime. Their old buddy Jack Roslovic ends it. Connor McDavid with 2 goals in the game. And you leave that one going, oh, come on. Just, it was there and didn't get it. Going to Seattle the very next night, and, you know, last night they grinded it out. And they really, and it was a grind, there's no doubt. 2-1, shootout win, but boy, did they need those 2 points, didn't they?
Yeah. You know, I go back to the first game of the trip. That really was disappointing, you know, in Long Island.
Oh.
The way that went down. But you know what? Throughout this entire trip, we've heard time after time from head coach Dean Evason, he's liked the way they played. He likes the way the team is playing the team game. The goaltending's been good, just bad decisions. And then last night, they learned from the night before. I mean, the night before, Connor McDavid took over. But to me, the second period, when they dominated the Edmonton Oilers, that's when you win the game, right? And so last night in Seattle, that was a muddy game, but perfect for the Blue Jackets as far as not a lot going on. They got their opportunities on the power play. They didn't take but one penalty in that game. And Jack Greaves was good. Jack Greaves held him in there and kept that only one goal against until his team had chances to get it done. And they blocked more shots than I've seen them block throughout the season. They were committed, and it really speaks to what it meant to get that win last night. You know, they knew you have to stay with it for 65 minutes and then hope in the shootout you can get it done. And so for them to come home here with 3 or 4 points to end the road trip that way, that's critical for this team. Not only to stay in the hunt, because you really have to stay in the hunt, but also to show that, you know, all those times we hear Dean Evason say, yeah, we didn't get the win, but boy, we liked the way we played as a team. You're like, okay, we have to keep hearing this. And the players too, they, you know, you got to be rewarded. So for them to go in and put the music on and leave the room with the rink with smiles and then fly back today and get ready for Edmonton tomorrow, I think it's good for the morale and it's important for the team.
Adam Fantilli had the goal that tied the game last night in a 5-on-3. You know, Adam gets the opportunity because you're losing and you're not generating a lot of offense. They get him back on the line with Dmitry Voronkov and Kirill Marchenko. He played there a lot last year when Sean Monahan was hurt. You know, Sean has not had the same offensive output early in the season that he did last year, and that's fine. Neither has Adam, quite frankly. But boy, does he look sparked to play on that line. I think in Edmonton and then last night in Seattle, he looks like not a completely different guy, but he looks like a very excited guy.
Yeah, he does. Now, I think he's just trying to do too much on the power play with Kent Johnson out. I think that's part of it. Like, he wants to do it all. That's part of Adam Fantilli's DNA. He was working the half wall, working the puck down where Kent Johnson would have been, who's very good at it. But I agree. He's got speed on that line. He drives a lot up the middle of the ice for Marchenko and Voronkov. It's a different looking line with him there. I love Monahan there too, because Monahan can slow it down and waits for passing lanes and things to develop on the one-on-one and give and go plays that they want to give. But yeah, you know, it needed to be refreshed a little bit. And I think you're going to see more refreshing as the season goes on. Chinnikov up in the top six to me is important. I think that's a player that he's got all the tools. You know, he's been asked to kind of play a bottom six role and be a checker. That guy's not going to be a checker. Yeah, he's going to be what he is, and he's sticking to it. So he gets in last night. I thought he looked good, too. So these young pieces that are first-round picks that all want to play in the top six, there's room for Johnson up there, too, I think. But they've got to find and settle in on some lines here now and really put these guys in a position where they fit in, and this team can be a threat through four lines.
All right, so you talk about Kent Johnson, and there's room there for him. Where is the room? And maybe, and we don't know what the injury was to Boone Jenner last night, and he's going to be evaluated now that we're back home. Maybe that's the answer to the question I'm about to ask you anyway. But where does Kent Johnson fit in? He was playing in the top six role. We saw him get moved down to the fourth line. We saw him get moved back up, and then all of a sudden last night, he's out of the lineup altogether. Now, I know guys have been sick. I don't know if that had anything to do with it, but he was skating in warm-ups. I get the impression that they felt it was time for him to just take a step back, catch your breath, watch what's going on here. And now that's all fine and good if you're that player. You know this better than I do. Now you're that player that's in the press box and the team wins. So now how do you get back in?
Well, yeah, you wait for your opportunity, which, you know, if Jenner can't be in the lineup tomorrow night, then he's going to get a chance. And I think that Kent Johnson fits in the top six in that Jenner spot. I think that every team needs to have a third line that is heavy and hard to play against and determined and on pucks. And I wonder if Boone Jenner shouldn't play on that line and maybe Olivier goes down to the fourth line. I mean, if you think of an, and don't even call them both third lines, Olivier Wood with Lundstrom. That's a pretty good line, a 3A line. And then you have Jenner, Sillinger, and Coyle. I mean, that's hard to play against. Those two lines are heavy and hard to play against. And then you have Johnson in your top six, and he's with Monahan. And on the left, you got Chinnikov. Like, that's, to me, that could work. But, you know, that's just throwing numbers and seeing where things work out. But I love the assignment lines where you have that line with Coyle, who can take face-offs, they're on the same page. They have speed. They have wall work they can win. And same with the Olivier line. So that's something that I think you'll see at some point here. But who knows? I mean, I'm not writing down the lines or deciding who's playing or not playing. But, you know, it's just an opinion I have.
Yeah, but it makes sense, right? I mean, it really does. And I do understand. Look, I think coaching is walking a tightrope in some ways, because you've got guys like Boone Jenner and Sean Monahan who have been playing in this league for a long time. They're respected guys. They're respected players. They haven't gotten off to a great start when it comes to putting up a lot of points. So I understand how you don't want them to feel like you're just bypassing them and putting other guys into their spots. But on the same token, the way this league is going, and look at the Eastern Conference the way it is right now. I mean, you don't have a lot of time to help guys to feel better. I mean, sometimes they've got to just get better, right? And if the younger guys are playing better, like, again, you know, Fantilli, you put him in that spot, and it's been a noticeable difference. Who knows? Two games from now, maybe it's different. I have no idea. But do you agree with that?
Yeah. I think as a player, you want to be a part of a successful line. And that means, it doesn't mean going out and making sure you're in the top six and getting more ice time and harder matchups. And, you know, I think lines that have assignments, play against top lines, grind, change momentum, I think that those lines feel just as important as being in a top six role, playing with the best players. And I think that it's when you're a fit on a line and you feel like you know your line, what it's going to be and how it's going to be together, you know your assignment when you go out there, I think that's the most that's the most gratifying thing as a player, is when you're settled in that role. You know, you've seen Boone now play on the the line that's the fourth line. We've seen him play on the top line. We've seen him, you know, moved quite a bit. I think you give him a home and an assignment, and I think everybody wants that as a player, just to be like, where am I at? Who am I playing with? And what is our role? And that's when you have good teams right now have four lines with balanced ice time, and they just roll them. And when you have that at home and on the road, that's a valuable piece, especially with the schedule. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of moments in the schedule where we're looking at each other like, wow, another game tomorrow? This is a travel day today. Get home tonight, and they play the Oilers, who they just have, you know, some really bad flashback memories of Connor McDavid the other night, and he's going to be in the building again after playing tonight. They play right now against the Philadelphia Flyers. So with the schedule, you have to have four lines, you have to have two goaltenders going, and you have to have probably 8D to really make sure you're where you want to be at in April.
Yeah, no, I agree with that 100%. And the balance, we've already seen it. I mean, when there have been games, you go back to that four-game winning streak, a couple of those games, you look at the ice time for all the lines, and at the end, you're like, huh, that's pretty close,
yeah,
right? Maybe Marchenko doesn't have 22 minutes. Maybe he's got 18 minutes, mm-hmm. and so does Lundstrom have 16 minutes or 14 minutes, whatever it is. But you're right, because that's what every coach wants, right? They want to be able to play everybody, make everybody feel like they're a part of what's going on. And when you get to that point, if your players are performing and you're giving them that opportunity, nobody goes home mad.
Yeah, and you're having team success. And you know, the feeling around that four-game winning streak was, you know, everybody was involved. And, you know, the teams that are struggling right now don't understand how they have to play as a unit. The Blue Jackets already have that, you know, with an understanding of how this team plays. And I think that's a valuable piece. The power play has to get better. You know, there's some adjustments that need to be made there. I think the Werenski shot off the faceoff win, the quick one, is a great way to set it up. I know Hedman does that in Tampa sometimes. It kind of breaks down coverage right away, and then you can get set up from there. You know, the battle level of the guys is good. You see other teams around the league where, you know, they're just like Toronto, the battle level, the defense, they're just having a really tough time of figuring out what they are. The advantage for the Blue Jackets is, and I only say this because the whole road trip, again, going back to what we started with, they talked about, they like the way they're playing. It's, they know how they have to play to win games. So to have that early now in the season is, you know, I think that's valuable. So we'll see. This is going to be another tough week. I mean, I guess every week you look at it is going to be tough. But, you know,
I think there's more parity in this league right now than ever. Or maybe at least in this conference.
I think so, too. You know, well, just look at the standings. I mean, right. Boston now is on an 8-game winning streak. I was watching them 2 weeks ago in Ottawa, and I thought they have no, like, they look lost. They look confused. They, you know, new coach frustrated because there's no time to practice and establish what he wants to practice and how he wants to play. And now look at them. They're on a roll. So it's good. I mean, that's why it's always fascinating to look at the predictions in the beginning of the season, see how teams come out of the gate, and see how they adjust. And for the Blue Jackets, there is a consistency with how they play, and I think that's going to be a good thing for them.
It's the old Allen Iverson thing. Practice. We talking about practice, right?
They just want to play games.
Right, exactly. Well, as Jody talked about, the Edmonton Oilers are coming to Columbus. I can't believe the season series is going to be over between these two teams in the span of 4 days. Crazy. Absolutely crazy. But anyway, coming up next, I'm going to sit and talk with Jack Michaels. Now, he does both radio and TV for the Edmonton Oilers, and I'm going to talk to him about the last 2 years and what the Oilers have gone through. Stanley Cup final, 2 times, coming up short both times. We'll talk about that and much more as the Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank, continues here on 97.1 The Fan.
Head to 971thefan.com to listen on demand and subscribe to all our podcasts. Wasting time has never been easier. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
James Laurinaitis.
Love football.
Love wings.
Put those bad boys together and you get Austin and Bird live at Roosters.
Presented by Bryant Heating and Cooling.
Large amounts of football and all the ducky sauce you can handle.
Mondays on The Fan's YouTube channel. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Bright, breezy, and dry but chilly on this Wednesday. Temperatures right around 50, down to the low 30s overnight with partly cloudy skies and light winds. Light winds, plenty of sunshine, and milder Thursday afternoon, back in the mid-50s. With your 10 weather impact forecast, I'm Chief Meteorologist Jerry Martz on The Fan.
All Blue Jackets, all the time. This is The Inside Edge with Jody Shelley and Bob McGilligan. Your home for the Columbus Blue Jackets. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Give the gift of Blue Jackets hockey this year with the Holiday Gift Pack presented by Homage. You get two tickets to two games of your choice and an exclusive Homage shirt, all starting at just $109. Get yours today by going to BlueJackets.com/holiday. Welcome back to The Inside Edge presented by First Merchants Bank. I'm Bob McElligott, and right now I'm joined by Jack Michaels. Jack is the radio and TV voice for the Edmonton Oilers.
Jack, you've been here for 16 years with the Edmonton Oilers, but I would think that the last two maybe have been the most special for you because of the team going to the Stanley Cup final. Maybe the most special and also the most devastating at the very end to lose in the Stanley Cup final two times. But what's it like to come to work around this group every day and get a chance to be around these types of players that that are taking you so deep in the playoffs?
Well, I'm kind of glad you brought up the two Stanley Cup finals because they were really different. The first one, I think Edmonton was devastated. Like, and I know they were down 3-0, but going into game 7, having won the last 3, I think there was a sense of inevitability that the Oilers were going to win. And when they came up short 2-1, I'll never forget the 42-minute ride, as you know, from the arena in a shopping mall in Florida to Fort Lauderdale Beach, where probably 80% of the team stay. It's 42 minutes. And that bus ride back, I ended up accidentally on the player's bus. Travel person said, get on the bus. So it's not like I snuck on. And there was not one light from a cell phone. There was not one sound made. No crying, no chatting, no clicking of a cell phone, no light from a cell phone. It was 42 minutes of just stone silence. I'll never forget that. Even when they shuffled off the bus, as you probably do, you let the players go off. Their footsteps didn't even make a sound. It was really bizarre. Last year, I think the players logically knew that, you know, Zach Hyman's, bad wrist break. And as you know, Bob, he's certainly not going to play in the first game against Columbus. And he is a huge question mark, even for the second game. They knew they were in tough. Florida's third line was tough to deal with. So not that they were, you know, accepting of it, but it was not the same as the second one. This year has been a challenge. I think the two deep runs have left the players, you know, trying to find some motivation in the first couple months of the year. And to this point, you know, they haven't quite found it. They haven't been emotionally invested in any of the first 16 or 18 games. And I think that's somewhat understandable considering the magnitude of the games you've played in. But if your question was aimed at what it's like being around Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl on a day-to-day basis, it's mostly all business. These are serious, dedicated, guys that, you know, really like to get after it. They take everything seriously. They are at this point so accomplished that the last thing they have on their resume to fill out is that Stanley Cup. And as a result, it's, you know, there's not a lot of play time. There's the occasional chirp or two, but, you know, they set the table for a team that, you know, at this point, it truly is a cuff or bust team. And I think sometimes that gets in their way of enjoying the small victories along the way.
Yeah, I can see exactly what you mean because you're, you know, that goal, it's there and you came up short just 2 years in a row. And yeah, just the sense that I get from the outside on those guys is exactly what you said. All business. And it's all business that creates winners, quite frankly. I mean, yeah, you can mix a little bit of fun in, but if you're not serious, it's not going to happen. You know, you talked about having a hard time finding footing in the first 16 to 18 games as a team. Look, when you make the two runs, I don't have to tell you, you were there. You make those two long runs,
it is a grind, and you've played more hockey than anybody else. In addition to that, you guys are playing against Florida in those two finals. The travel itself had to be just incredible.
Yeah.
And, you know, it does take a toll. And I think people forget that, or they don't realize that. But to be quite honest, if your team like the Edmonton Oilers, and Jody Shelley says this all the time, playoff teams just get through the regular season to get to the playoffs. Because then when you get into the playoffs, not that you can just flip a switch, but I think when you have guys like McDavid and Draisaitl, yeah, you kind of can flip a switch.
I agree with you. And quite frankly, I mean, it's been borne out in the numbers too. I mean, if you look at, you know, last year, how do you hammer on motivation for this season when you consider the only series where they had a home ice advantage, they lost? You know, I mean, Edmonton and Florida arrived at last year's Stanley Cup final not having had a home ice in any of their first three series. I think that, you know, might have been the first time in a long time that had happened, you know, if ever. So, you know, obviously the Kings the one year, you know, won it, but, you know, they were playing teams that you know, in that final, New Jersey had home ice. So in any event, I think that, yeah, because they've won in different venues and they know that home ice is nice, but not necessarily the end all be all, it is difficult to find motivation. So I think the approach this year was to try to have a little more fun and to try to, you know, find some, you know, talking points to embrace, whether it's aspects of the road. Oilers are in a stretch right now where they're playing 17 of 24 away from home, getting to know their teammates, having a little bit more fun and not necessarily having the fun police. That's the big joke around Edmonton is, you know, the fun police, in terms of bearing down. But I think it's, you know, I think it's crept into their play. I think, you know, as Edmonton and Columbus meet twice inside of a week, I think I would tell you honestly that the Oilers have probably played about 8 good periods all year long. I mean, that's not a lot for the first month of the season. I think there's some urgency starting to creep in, like, okay, like you just can't float through the year. You ultimately have to make the tournament. I think the other thing that's happened, Bob, and maybe you've seen this out east as well, it certainly is reflected in the standings, is I think in the West, and I think probably out east, no one really got better at the top of the league. The 4 or 5 teams, I know Colorado's off to a good start. Let's see what happens in a couple of months. When I looked at the Western Conference teams, I didn't think any of the top 3 or 4 or 5 even got appreciably better. They were lucky to stay roughly the same. Whereas some of the contenders did get better. You know, Anaheim, I thought might be better. They beat Edmonton 3 out of 4. In other words, the mushy middle, I think, has expanded tremendously in the NHL. I do not see an odds-on favorite. I know Colorado has the record right now, but, you know, all it takes is one injury, and I think a lot of the top teams have a lack of depth right now. And as a result, I would not be surprised out of 32 teams if 25 or 26 are still in it at the deadline, whereas at least out west, you could count on Anaheim, San Jose, and Chicago as just being punching bags for 6 months. That's no longer the case. And in the East, the last I looked, the whole conference was separated by 5 points. So it's an ever expanding, you know, and we've seen it. You and I are both football fans. We've seen it in the NFL for years. I think this is exactly what the NHL wants. It's maybe not, you know, the days of the, you know, the Blackhawks and the Lightning being, you know, clearly ahead of the rest of the league. I don't see that this year. We'll see.
No, I don't see it either. I think you're absolutely right. And yeah, the trade deadline could be boring again, yeah. Right, with that kind of parity.
Tonight I'm talking with Jack Michaels. He's the play-by-play voice of the Edmonton Oilers, helping me and you to get ready for tomorrow night's game between the Blue Jackets and the Oilers at 7:30 at Nationwide Arena. I'll be back with more of the Inside Edge presented by First Merchants Bank right after this on 97.1 The Fan.
An encyclopedic knowledge of sports and other random things you may or may not care about.
I think I found my mentor.
Rockman and Ice.
Weekdays from noon to 3.
The Fan. Your favorite fan shows are on YouTube.
Along with those fake YouTube ads like Chew This Gum and It Grows New Teeth.
Experience the splendor of Bo sitting in his closet, Timmy Hall's Gaudy gold chains, and Matty Ice wearing a coat in 90-degree weather. It's all there.
Head to YouTube and subscribe today.
Can't get enough Blue Jackets conversation? Good news. It's Hockey O'Clock. It's the Inside Edge with Jody Shelley and Bob McGilligan. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Welcome back to the Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank. Getting ready for tomorrow night's game between the Blue Jackets and the Edmonton Oilers at Nationwide Arena. Right now, I'm with the voice of the Edmonton Oilers, Jack Michaels.
Before I let you go,
sure,
I just need you to tell me, how does a Western Pennsylvania kid wind up broadcasting for the Edmonton Oilers, oh, by the way, via Alaska?
Yeah. Well, as you know, Bob, I wasn't good enough to ever do a game in the American Hockey League. I wasn't good enough to do a game for an NHL team in the States. So, you know, I think what worked out in my favor is, at least with the Edmonton job, is they had never hired for the position. Back in 1972, basically, you know, hey, a WHA team is coming in. Guy raised his hand. 38 years later, he's in the Hall of Fame. And they had never, so they were looking at everyone. Obviously, they had to be, for a guy from Alaska to get this job. I had never set foot in this province. I had only been to border towns like Victoria and Toronto. I knew nothing about Canada. I didn't know that I'd be applying for credit cards and all that stuff. It is not just as we were led to believe America Junior when we were little kids. It's not that at all. It's a totally different country with, you know, at times a pretty stern attitude as far as what they think of their neighbors to the south sometimes. But, you know, it's been a very welcoming city for me, and it's been a great place to raise our kids. I had one break, and that was one of the guys on the hiring committee for this job. I mean, this is how it was. Literally, as you know, most teams in the States, they have one guy that kind of token looks and they just want it filled. Well, in Edmonton, they had a hiring committee. They had never hired for the job. One of the guys on the hiring committee, basically one of the two key guys that were on the hiring committee, happened to share an outdoor living space barbecue downtown Edmonton with a former Alaska Ace. And luckily, this guy was a good player for the Aces, so I was on good terms there. So when he said, hey, have you ever heard of this kid from Alaska? The guy could actually say, yeah, pretty good guy. You should hire him. Whereas if it had been a borderline player or a goalie who had really struggled, you would have never heard of me. Yeah.
Wow. So in Alaska was in the ACHL.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. When you were there.
Like I said, never good enough to do a game in the American League.
But another disciple, I guess I'll use that word, of Mike Lang when you were growing up.
Yes. In Pittsburgh. Absolutely. And, you know, there's no question about it. I was always, as you remember from those years, we were kids at the same time. The Penguins were a run and gun, you know, most exciting team in the league either way. You know, an 8-6 win, you know, which I've seen plenty of in Edmonton, ironically enough. But back then, the Penguins were, I mean, completely high octane. They had a couple of offensive minded defensemen, and their goaltending, you know, Tommy Barrasso was pretty good in the clutch, but sometimes his regular seasons could be a little dodgy. But I was always, as I'm sure you were, mesmerized by the fact that Mike Lang often spoke for 10 to 15 minutes between whistles, continuous with the adjectives, never a stumble, never a bobble, weaving paragraph upon paragraph of play-by-play commentary without so much as even a hesitation. I always thought that was completely fascinating and unreal. And I think, to be honest with you, the outside world, all they remember are the catchphrases and all that jazz. And that, to some degree, did him a disservice, because in terms of pure play-by-play, I would put his up against anybody's.
I agree with you. Yeah, you're absolutely right, because you did, and especially at that time when he was really in the heyday, things weren't as available as they are today. But I will tell you this. You know, when this spring comes, I hope that I'm doing games beyond the regular season. But the last couple, when I haven't been, and I've been driving around and I turn on my Sirius XM radio and I hear you doing those playoff games, keep me locked in, brother.
Well, I appreciate that.
I really enjoy it. And I can hear that Mike Lang stuff in you too.
I'll be candid. It's not just cause I'm on your show. But I think a lot of us were pulling for Columbus last year. You've always had a good room. I think you've got a good group of players. I have a lot of respect for Dean Evason. I thought it was very bad luck. He had the one bad start in Minnesota, but it's benefited Columbus. And, you know, I would not be surprised at all if the Jackets found their way. I know they're in a bit of a rough spot right now, but I think it's a team that, especially this year where everything's up for grabs, I don't know that a team works harder than Columbus. I just hope, at some point Edmonton finds a way to win there, because that cannon has tormented me for years upon years. This is a home-and-home series, and I got to be honest with you. I wouldn't mind splitting the series for years. I would prefer if Edmonton always won there and Columbus always won here. Just so I haven't gotten used to it. I know it's trite to say, but for some reason, I must be jumpier than everyone else because it gets me every time.
Jack, thank you so much. Great to talk to you. And it's been fun to catch up with you in this very brief span. Now we don't see each other for the rest of the year, which is crazy.
I know. And it's an inimitable wisdom. You know, the NHL has 185 days or whatever it is, and they seemingly every year find a way to wrap up the Edmonton-Columbus season series in about 6 to 9 days. So it is what it is. This year it's down to 4. Bob, you're a pro, and again, not just because I'm honored enough to be on your show, but you're one of the guys that when I listen to you, I feel like I'm listening to a very familiar voice that I've listened to for 25, 30 years. You embody, we grew up in middle America. You can't tell where we're from. I think that's a good thing. And, I think there's a little juice, to your call that I find captivating. And it's not always the case in our business, especially in the mundane regular season times. But thanks so much for having me on.
That is Jack Michaels, play-by-play voice of the Edmonton Oilers. The Blue Jackets and the Oilers will face off tomorrow night at Nationwide Arena. But I want to remind you that on Saturday, the New York Rangers will be here, and it's the next Blue Jackets 25th anniversary celebration game, and it's a game presented by Nationwide. There will be special CBJ alumni that are here in the building. If you come to the game, you get an Upper Deck collectible card set that'll feature current and former Blue Jackets. The puck will drop at 7 o'clock, and you can get your tickets by going to bluejackets.com. Coming up next, Jody Shelley returns, and we'll wrap up this week's edition of The Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank, here on 97.1 The Fan.
If you miss a live show, you can catch the podcast. If you miss the podcast, our hosts have volunteered to have dinner with you.
My, the meatloaf!
The Fan. Bishop and Friends.
I don't do much of the landscaping. One thing that I do enjoy doing here at Fort Bishop is I do enjoy blowing leaves.
Bishop and Friends, sponsored by Diamond Cellar.
Weekdays from 9 to noon on The Fan. All Blue Jackets, all the time. This is The Inside Edge with Jody Shelley and Bob McGilligan. Your home for the Columbus Blue Jackets. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Getting ready to close out this edition of The Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank. The Blue Jackets getting set to take on the Edmonton Oilers at Nationwide Arena tomorrow night. The game gets underway at 7:30, by the way, tomorrow evening. So when you're making your plans, don't forget that. Jody, I've got to ask you this question. When the Blue Jackets were in Edmonton on Monday, you did the game for Amazon Prime. And so you were watching the team you spend every day with play against the Edmonton Oilers and have to try to be a middle-of-the-road guy. And you're going to do it again when Montreal is here this coming Monday, too. So what kind of a challenge is that for you?
You know, it's a good question. I had a thought going into the game, like, okay, be aware. Like, this is a Canadian. So Prime is on coast-to-coast in Canada. And my heart is with the Blue Jackets in many ways. But here I am, you know, broadcasting to a Canadian audience in Edmonton in their building. Yes, but it wasn't as much of a challenge as you would think. I think that There were times when I was focused on the Blue Jackets too much, because I do that a lot when we're doing our own broadcasts. But then there was other ways to do it where I could focus on what Edmonton was doing poorly or the Blue Jackets were doing well. It was hard. The hard part was just not being, you know, so into what the Blue Jackets were doing and complimenting them too much, because you have to be aware that the Oilers fans are hanging on their team. And they had just lost 9-1, you know, to Colorado the game before. So it was like, okay, there's a lot going on there. But unfortunately, they, you know, the Oilers pulled that off for the Blue Jackets traveling party, who I got on the bus with the Blue Jackets team after. And thinking still as, you know, a neutral party, but then I was quickly realized, oh yeah, I'm with the Blue Jackets, a team that lost, and, you know.
You got to get on the plane of misery, as you like
to
say.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, it was, I had to be aware of it.
Mm-hmm. I got to ask you this, because I know how I feel about it, but I'm really interested, since you've been doing this for the last couple of years. Do you enjoy doing a game where you don't have a dog in the fight, which is the opposite of what I just asked you about, not favoring one team over the other?
Yeah, I think I do.
Yeah,
I do. It's a nice mix. I have a very fortunate, because I have the mix of following a team every day, living in the community, being a part of the organization in Columbus, but then going to do two Canadian teams or a Canadian team and a team out of market. You have to be like, you're not fooling anybody. The markets know their team so well. So, and I enjoy that. You know, I enjoy getting back to Canada. I'm a Canadian, seeing the passion of the markets, feeling the tension and some of the stress in Toronto and what they're going through. And then, you know, we get to talk to the coaches one-on-one with national coverages. And I really enjoy that, because I get to talk to guys like Craig Berube, who I played against, and he coached me, and, you know, you hear him talk in the media, but then I get to talk to him one-on-one, and it's like two buddies talking, and you get the real good stuff, you know, and it's not stuff I would use on air, but I enjoy that part of the job. Is, I think you do too. We're in arenas doing this wonderful job, following a great sport, and seeing the hockey circle is so small, and it's the people you meet, the people you get to connect with, the people you can't believe you're talking to. And I think that's what I enjoy as being a guy that covers national coverage, is that people recognize you, that you don't think they really know you at all. And I think we find that with the Blue Jackets as well.
Yeah. And I'll bet it's true with the players too, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they know. I mean, they know who you are, and they know you played and all that stuff.
No, they're good.
But it, all of a sudden, you're not the Blue Jackets guy.
No, exactly. Right. Amazon's in town, or TNT. So that's a nice part of my job.
All right. What are you most impressed with in the league right now? I mean, there's so many stories. You talked about Boston earlier and the streak that they're on. Pittsburgh, they were supposed to be left for dead. They are not. I mean, this Eastern Conference is crazy, as we alluded to a little bit earlier. And let's look at what's coming up this week for the Blue Jackets. Edmonton tomorrow. The Rangers are here on Saturday. The Canadiens are here on Monday. And then you got to go to Winnipeg and play on Tuesday, as you touched upon. It's a grueling schedule.
I'm surprised that the Rangers aren't playing a little better with Shesterkin and Nett.
Especially at home.
One win at home.
Yeah.
Just happened hours ago with Mike Sullivan, you know, new coach, guy that was there with Torts. You know, I thought that would be a refresher for them. But it'll be interesting to see, because they are playing well on the road. Montreal is one of the, I would say that they're the most dynamic and exciting team to watch in the National Hockey League. They're fun. They're young. They have a great coach in Marty St. Louis, you know, Hall of Fame player. I like what they have going on there with their dynamic. Anaheim out west, man, I'll tell you. You look at that roster with what they got going on with Carlson, McTavish, all the young draft picks, how they struggled, how they brought it together with some veterans and Coach Quinville. I'm bringing up all the coaches, but, you know, it's for a good reason.
It makes a difference.
It's a massive thing in the National Hockey League. Coaching is massive. Jared Bednar is he is an impressive guy to watch coach, as far as he's got superstars, but the way they're committed, how he prepares his team for the opposition and what their trends are. And so, you know, teams like that with good coaches, It's interesting to watch a dynamic. Tampa's come to life with Cooper again. They had a little bit of a soft start. I love what they're doing in Pittsburgh. I like how they've brought in a new coach, and they have the superstars we've known forever, but also got some good draft picks. They got lucky with some draft picks, and that's infused a lot into that lineup.
The Washington Capitals rebuild plan right there in
exactly
Pittsburgh.
Exactly
right.
Right? Exactly,
exactly
right.
What Washington did last year when we were shocked
yep.
at how good they were. And Pittsburgh, the funny thing about it is, when Jim Rutherford was there, and God bless him, he was winning Stanley Cups. I don't fault him at all. He was trading those picks away to get players that could help him right now.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Dubas goes in there, and he doesn't have a lot of draft capital. And now in the last couple of years, he was able to pick some up. And, boy, you're right. They've used it right.
They've used it right. They've gotten lucky with a couple picks. And then I look at a team like Ottawa. I like the way they're playing, even without Brady Tkachuk. You know, they do have – they're lacking personality. They play kind of a – I wouldn't say boring, but a defensive style of hockey. But they've got Stützle, Giroux, Batherson, Pinto. They've got some good young pieces, and they play hard under Green, their head coach. There's a lot – it's everybody's still in it. You know, there's – you know, Buffalo's struggling a little bit again, but they're still – they're a team that's harder to play against this year, so – the East is fascinating to me. And, you know, it's interesting being out West. You know, the teams are still bigger. The D are bigger. Even last night in Seattle, you know, you have to have some.
Well, they got Alexiak. He's yeah. huge.
And Dunn. Dunn's yeah, a big guy,
right,
too.
Right, he is.
You know, it's a rougher game out West. It's interesting. It'd be fun to see the team, the Blue Jackets, get back home and play the Rangers on a Saturday night. You know, that's turned into a fun rivalry. The Montreal Canadiens on Monday night. That's another one of those games where you're going to see a little more wide open pace to the hockey game. And we love seeing that.
Yes, absolutely. We do. Hey, before we close this out, I hope you're okay with me doing this, but I had an uncle of mine that passed away this week. And he was my mom's brother. He was very close. He was there when I was born, for crying out loud. And I bring him up on this show because back in the early 90s, when the Penguins won their back-to-back Stanley Cups, I lived up in the mountains. We didn't have cable where we lived, and he lived in town, and they had cable. And I remember driving into his house to watch the Penguins go through the playoffs. And it was a special time. Right. And we were enjoying hockey together, and I will never forget that. There was another time when I was here in Columbus. We went to Pittsburgh to play, and I got a couple of tickets for the game, and I wanted my grandmother to go. So I called him and I said, hey, would you like to come to the game? We're playing the Penguins. Would you like to come to the game? And he goes, yeah. I said, there's just one catch. You got to bring your mom to the game because I want my grandmother to come to the game. And he brought her, and I really remember that being a special day. It really meant a lot to me that she was there and that he brought her. So he passed away this week, and I'm not going to be able to get into the funeral because of our schedule, which, you know, it is what it is. I mean, this is what we do, and I get it, and I understand. But there was a special hockey tie there, and that's why I wanted to bring it up during this show. Because it meant a lot to me. And I go back, and I've been thinking about that a lot in the last couple of days, and how we had that thing. And when I talked to him about the Penguins, he'd tell me how terrible they are and all that stuff. But I just wanted to acknowledge that. My Uncle George Singer, he passed away, and it's a sad day.
Yeah. Well, I can tell. And you know what? I'm glad you brought it up. You know, Bob, those are things we're all just traveling around in this great community of hockey. And, you know, we have families and life that goes on around us. And, you know, you're right. Sports and hockey, they bring us all together. And it's nice to hear you had that moment with him and your grandma.
Yeah, it was fantastic. So, I will miss his, Penguins criticism.
Yeah.
I really will. And then what I really loved was to tell him when he was wrong. And go, no, you know.
You got to have someone to go against you at some right. point.
Malkin's not really the problem. You think he is. He's not really the problem. But anyway, Jody, I appreciate it. Great getting back here and chatting with you. And it was a great road trip.
Yeah, nice to be home, though, I will say.
Yeah,
you know, it was some crazy travel. leaving the Pacific to go back to the mountain time in Edmonton and then go back to the Pacific. That's because I think teams thought it was an advantage for Calgary and Edmonton to always have the back-to-backs or the time to play. You know you're playing Edmonton and Calgary, so they're switching it up a little bit. But, yeah, it's great to be home, and hopefully the Blue Jackets can carry over what they finished off in Seattle.
Well, enjoy it, because we're going to be back on the road again next week
in the East
for another grueling trip. All right, that's going to do it for the Inside Edge presented by First Merchants Bank. Thanks to Jody Shelley for being with me. Thanks to you for being there, as always. And I'm Bob McElligot. So long, and thanks for listening to 97.1 The Fan.
It's almost Football Friday. All play and no work.
Sponsored by Tansky Sawmill Toyota.
Your home for football, The Fan.
Wesley Financial.
GA Benefits.